You have your Bibles, please turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. We'll be looking at verses 1 through 19. And I'll be honest with you, the biggest thing is of this, what I'm hoping to do is kind of tease you a little bit, but I want you to read the whole chapter at some point to really see where this is going. Hopefully, what I'm hoping today is to be able to show you something a little different and something to renew some spark in our life is what it means to be, what the word resurrection truly means. So if you're there, 1 Corinthians 15, 1 through 19, if you don't have a Bible, look off to your neighbor. It'll also be right here behind me. Now, granted, if there's anything misspelled behind me, I had to hand type that. And if you guys don't know, I only type with one hand, basically. Any misspellings, blame Brendan. I blame everything on our drummer, so it'll work out just fine. All right? Here it is. This is the word of God. Now I make known to you, brethren, the gospel which I preached to you, which also you received, in which also you stand, by which also you are saved, if you hold fast the word which I preached to you, unless you believed in vain. For I delivered to you as of first importance what I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he was raised on the third day according to the Scriptures, and that he appeared to Cephas, by the way, that's talking about Peter, then to the 12. After that, he appeared to more than 500 brethren at one time, most of whom remain until now, but some have fallen asleep. Then he appeared to James, then to all the apostles, and last of all, as to one untimely born, he appeared to me also. For I am the least of the apostles, and not fit to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God I am what I am, and his grace toward me did not prove vain, but I labored even more than all of them, yet not I, but the grace of God with me. Whether then it was I or they, so we preached, and so you believed. Now, if Christ is preached that he has been raised from the dead, how do some among you say there is no resurrection of the dead? But there is no resurrection of the dead, not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, then our preaching is vain, your faith also is vain. Moreover, we are even found to be false witnesses of God, because we testified against God that he raised Christ, whom he did not raise, if in fact the dead are not raised. For if the dead are not raised, not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is worthless, you are still in your sins. Then those who have fallen asleep in Christ have perished. If we have hope in Christ in this life only, we are all of men most to be pitied. Once again, let us start off saying, he is risen. Right? Amen. Today, as I've said multiple times already, it is Easter Sunday, right? It is the Resurrection Sunday. This is the day we celebrate the resurrection of Jesus Christ, our living King, right? So what I wanted to do this morning is I want to talk about what resurrection is. Probably talk a little bit about what it is not. But I want us to make sure we understand the truth of what the word resurrection means. It's more than just someone coming back to life. And I'm hoping this will just kind of tease you a little bit, that it will leave you with some questions is what I'm hoping for. Because that's the thing about when you show up for church, your Bible studies, or your own study, you go in with questions, right? And the thing is, some of these questions get answers. But the big thing, you should be walking out with more questions than what you came in with. Does that make sense? That's what makes this thing a big mystery, because we want to know more of what's going on. We want to know more about who this God is and what this love that we read about, right? That we see living out in front of us. So today, this past week, we observed Holy Week. We had a great message last week on Palm Sunday, which is where this all started, right? Brother Jeff, thank you very much for that message. But this is where it all started. Palm Sunday, as Jesus rides into Jerusalem on the back of a donkey, here comes the king. Of course, at this time, everybody is cheering and yelling to the king, right? There's this hope. Of course, we know the story. A couple days later, that whole thing turned around, doesn't it? It's a full 180. Here are the people, when he came in, as they're cheering for him, laying down the palm leaves and everything else before them, yelling, Hosanna. Which, as was mentioned, it means save us. The thing is, they really didn't understand what they need saved from. And sometimes that's how we are, especially in the beginning. We have no idea what we're needing being saved from. So if today we celebrate that the story did not end with a grave, but it begins with a new beginning, a new creation brought forth through Jesus Christ. First, and one thing you'll probably hear, I'm a huge N.T. Wright follower. So I do a lot of, I have a bunch of other people follow, but there's some things I look at here. So I have a couple of quotes I'll be using tonight. Oh, good grief. Good morning. This morning. Bear with me. But let me start off about what resurrection is. See, resurrection, as N.T. Wright states, is the rock-bottom reality for Christians. You hear that? The rock-bottom reality for Christians. This pretty much is the true foundation of our faith. Without the resurrection, this is nothing. This is just a bunch of us gathering together, hopefully have a good time, and pass some time and move on. Now, understand, Christmas is important, right? But that seems to get everything, all the attention is Christmas. And that is important. Don't think I'm saying it's not. Because Christmas was the day that hope, that God's reality broke through into this reality. Easter is where that reality, that hope, conquered this reality. Huge thing. See, we say this is the foundation because this is the truth of where we are. This is who we are. Hope has entered our reality, but now here, hope has overcome this reality. It's overcome death and sin. This is not about life after death. This is life, capital L-I-F-E, after life. This is what we're talking about. Life after life. Not life after death, life after life. And some of the kids are used to me talking about like big R's and little R's, and I'll explain that a little bit as we continue on, because I'll be using this. And if you're going to blame anybody about some of the stuff, it gets confusing. Blame one of my professors back in college, Dr. Chris Green. I said that on purpose in case he ever listens to this. I can show that it's his fault. So, no, he actually is a great guy. So anyway, the resurrection is the truth and the foundation of our faith. Here we see Paul talking to the Corinthians about resurrection. Okay? And see, there's a problem that we see in verse 12. And here's what he wants to do. He wants the Corinthians to understand who they are and where they are. Here's one thing about Corinth. This was a huge pagan city. Okay? These are new believers. And like some new believers, when we come to Christ, we will take some of our old beliefs and everything. We try to find a way to mix those with Christianity. The thing is, that's something we still even do today. We try to mix our politics into Christianity, and we think they go this way, but really they're going like this. And that's the truth. These are things we have to look out for. And so Paul is trying to explain to them the truth of who they really are, that they're no longer these people they were before. They're new creations. We'll get more into that here in a little bit as well. But he wants to understand who they are and where they're from. Just like us, there are times we need to be reminded of who we are and where we're heading. See, we are people of the resurrection. We're the followers of Christ. He went before us, and we will follow. As I said, Corinth was a big pagan city. Understand also, resurrection was not a big thought. A thing of life after death was not a big thing then. That wasn't something they thought about. It wasn't until probably about the second or third century that they really started thinking about things like this. The only possible exception was probably Zoroastrianism. But see, even the Jewish people didn't have a belief in resurrection or life after death. Now, I know some people might think that doesn't make any sense, but it's true. Life after death, there's nothing. Basically, it was, you lived this life and that was it. You were done. That's it. So the truth here is resurrection. Now, there were some in the Jewish circles that did. Here's the thing. The people that Christ butted heads with the most were the Pharisees, right? But did you realize if you go back and read what's going on with the Pharisees, they actually had the same belief as Christ, but they didn't understand it. See, Pharisees believed in resurrection, but they didn't believe it. They didn't understand the way Christ was trying, and even Paul here is trying to talk about it. It's much different. In fact, if you go back and read the story of Lazarus when he died, right? Remember, Jesus is away. He gets news that he's sick, and he waits, right? He waits for him to die. And when he dies, he goes back. He tells his disciples he's sleeping. Of course, they really thought he was sleeping. He found out, no, he's dead. And he purposely waited 3 days. At this point, he's wrapped up. He's put in a tomb. His body is already starting to rot. And here he walks up to Mary and Martha, his sisters. And he tells them he will come back. So there is this thought of resurrection. We see it right here with Martha. She responds to Jesus about this. She says, I know he'll rise again in the resurrection on the last day. Now, this is kind of a simply put, but basically the way that they saw resurrection was you died. Basically what we see with Lazarus, he comes out of the grave and he's alive again. But there's nothing changed about him. Does this make sense? He's not changed at all. We're not talking about zombies. So no zombies, okay? But he walked out as if he just awoke from a long sleep. And notice this is what they use a lot for death. They talk about sleep. And this is what's happening here. So when they talk about resurrection, it's more than you coming back to life. Because here what we see here in the Jewish way they thought about it, the Pharisees, was you just came back just as you are, right? In fact, we see Jesus, he does come back in his body, right? But it's also different. N.T. Wright says, resurrection in the first century meant someone physically, thoroughly dead, becoming physically, thoroughly alive again, not simply surviving or entering a purely spiritual world. Once again, meaning you died, you came back exactly the same, just as if you just woke up from a long nap, right? We've all done that, right? We wake up from a nap, we're the same. We're probably a little crankier, but this is what's going on. See, the thing is they, and there's times where we, if we're honest, we don't truly realize what resurrection really means and what the weight of what the resurrection means. When Jesus raises Lazarus, we see God's power of grace, and Lazarus returns once again as if he was just asleep. And here he is waking up. But see, this resurrection of Jesus doesn't mean the same thing. When Jesus tells his followers that he is going to die, that he tells people that you're going to tear down this temple in 3 days, I'm going to rebuild it. He's talking in a new creation future speak. Does that make any sense? I'm making up words, I know. Once again, I'll thank Dr. Green for that as well. But it's new creation future, because this is what it is. Resurrection is about a new beginning, a new creation. Okay? He's the future in the presence, right? Once again, it gets a little crazy here, doesn't it? But this is what he's talking about. When Christ is resurrected, he's not just merely a physical return. And then again, it's not just a spiritual return. It embraces more than, it embraces all of creation in its existence. See, this is also a big problem they were dealing with in Corinth and other places were the Gnostics. Gnostics had this belief that your body, your flesh, is evil. And Jesus could not be the Savior unless he was pure spirit. Because only the spirit can be pure. Only the spirit can do the right things. Because your flesh is always going to be evil. You have to shed your flesh. But that's not the truth. Jesus was a human being. He was flesh and blood. He was fully man. He was fully humankind. He was fully God at the same time. We should never, ever underestimate the fact that he was a human. This is how he truly knows what you're going through in your life. The joys and the pains. So the Gnostics, this is a big thing they had to battle against, is this thought that only the spirit can do these things. And only the thing is, the Jews did understand there is a difference between resurrected people and ghosts and visions, okay? They do understand there's a huge difference there, all right? And no one's seen ghosts, all right? But here's the thing. Paul makes mention of this resurrection, that if it's not real, that's just made up. Or if it's not even more than what we realize it is, what fools we must be. Because he and others, understand, one of the things we see here, Paul and others who are preaching Christ crucified, this is why they're being put in jail. This is why they're being murdered. This is why they're being hunted down. Not just because they're just preaching Christ, but they're preaching this doctrine of Christ crucified, of the King that still lives. This is a big problem. So, this is what they're being put to death for. Not just because they're teaching a gospel of this love, but they're teaching about a resurrected Christ. So who are the ones that didn't want the dead to be raised? Who would be against this so badly? Once again, N.T. Wright states, it's not simply the intellectually timid or the rationalist. It was, and it is, those in power. The social and intellectual tyrants and bullies. The Caesars who would be threatened by a lord of the world who had defeated the tyrant's last weapon, death itself. And the Herods who would be horrified at the post-mortem validation of the true King of the Jews. Does that make sense? Because they don't have the power. So here's the thing. This is one thing that we see people do even today. We want to reject this whole thing because we want to be the king and the ruler and the God of our own lives. Right? Here, as it says, what was Rome's greatest weapon against anybody? The cross. They knew how to kill people. Right? Jesus' resurrection is more than a physical thing and spiritual. It embodies all things, all of creation. It is us being raised, but not the same. We are brought back into reality, big R. See, put it this way. This is reality, right? But see, there's this other reality, true reality. We'll call this reality little r, and God's reality, big R. The true reality, the truth. Here, right now, this is a shadow of what's to come. Does this make sense? Am I confusing you? This is all but a shadow of what's to come. It's a beautiful day, isn't it? But here's what's going to happen. When Christ returns, a beautiful day, this is nothing compared to it. In fact, we will, right now in our language, we will not have words to describe the true beauty of what's to come. See, this is what the resurrection is. It's taking us somewhere forward, beyond what we comprehend. Listen, I don't really know all this stuff. I'm still learning this as well. But this is what keeps drawing me. This is why Easter is my favorite thing. Because once, unlike Christmas, where it has a full season, which I talked to the kids earlier, it starts tends to start a little earlier every year. I think it's starting in next month, probably. Easter only gets this one day, truthfully. And that's honest. But the truth about Easter, this is why it's more important, because Easter is the foundation of our faith. It is only because of, because of the resurrection that we have this victory, that we are free, that we can look forward to. There's something greater ahead of us than what we have now. When Jesus came back, when he returned, he walked this earth, didn't he? Now, was he always recognized? No. But then at the same time, he was recognizable. This is what we're talking about. It is the same, but it is something new. He is the new creation in which we are to follow. Because when he rose, he still had the holes in his hands. He still had the holes in his feet. He still had the huge hole in his side, didn't he? Well, it's like he probably still had those thorn marks in his forehead. But at the same time, he was still something he didn't recognize, because he was something completely new. When Christ came back and walked the earth, people recognized him, people didn't until a certain point. But at the same time, when Christ comes back, he could touch and be touched, right? We see evidence of that. Thomas filling the holes. Thing is, he ate, he drank. It's not too much different from where we are, right? He could, most likely, I'm sure he can give a hug and be hugged. But at the same time, we also read that when the disciples all together in a locked room, he walked right through the door. Right? Right? He didn't open the door. He didn't use a key. He walked through solid matter. That is God's reality. As I said, when Jesus was born into this world, that was heaven breaking into this reality. God's reality is breaking through. Now, this reality has overcome this one and is consuming it right now. It is joining us all together. The resurrection is about us. It's not just about us, you know, dying, going when Christ comes back to get us, we're going to heaven. If you really read the scripture, it talks about he is going to join heaven and earth together. Renew it into something what is originally supposed to be. It's to be something we'll never be able to describe. But this is one thing that really drives me. I want to know what it's like. This is what drove Paul to do the things that he did and to be as successful as he was. He wanted to know there was so much more to this. And as Paul would get questions answered, he too would draw even more questions. Well, okay, well, how does this happen? And that's what we're going to. Jesus died, and he went to the grave. He didn't go to heaven. He was like Lazarus. He went to sleep. But it was more than that. Because of the sacrifice, he took upon the punishments and the wages of sin, which is death. And the death that he experienced was a death is something we will never truly have to really taste. There's an opportunity we don't have to taste it. But he experienced death in the truest and realest way possible. He himself was abandoned by his father because his father had to turn his back on him. And he did this because he loves us. And not just love, it's agape. If you don't know what that means, that's Greek for love, but it means unconditional love. And listen, we can understand, we know the definition of unconditional love. That's easy to understand here. But as who we are right now in here, it is still something we struggle with. What does it mean to show unconditional love to one another? Why does God truly love me when I'm such a terrible person? I am like Judas who betrayed him. Right? I am like Peter who denied him. But guess what? He still loved me. When Christ came back and walked this earth through the sacrifice, he revealed the gift that awaits every one of us who choose to follow him. It's not just coming back to life. Once again, not the zombie thing. It's us coming into new creation. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says what? It says, therefore, if anyone's in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things pass away, new things have come. Understand something here. The moment you gave your life to Christ, you became a new creation. But at the same time, you're still in the process of becoming that new creation. Right? You understand what that means? It's like you're saved, but at the same time, you're still in the process of being saved. Does that make sense? It's the whole thing of sanctification. We are saved, but we're also in the process of being saved. We are new, but we're in the process of becoming new. We are following Christ, and we are coming to be like him. And when he returns, when this body gives out, and we go to sleep, when he returns, we will be just like him. And here's the thing. On today, we should just be like what we read on Palm Sunday. Today and every day should be a day where we welcome the King. If he's walking right now, we should be loud saying Hosanna. And then now we're starting to realize what Hosanna means. When we say save us, we now understand what it means when we say save us. See, we're thinking just save us from this enemy that we know. See, what we're really needing is being saved by an enemy we did not know. Yes, he has overcome. In fact, on the cross, he said it is finished, didn't he? He didn't say, it is finished, dot, dot, dot. It is finished when. He said, it is finished, period. That's it. We celebrate that gift that the hope has given to us. It is before us that joy will be eternal, and the pain and suffering that we have had to go through here is fleeting. We, like the Corinthians, need to remember who we are, where we are, and where we are going. We're not but a footnote in God's story. We are part. We are main characters in his narrative. We're not just passerbys. We are the focus of the story as well. He has made us that way. I mean, he is the true focus, but we are part of that. Does that make sense? We are a people of the resurrection. That is who we are. We are life. After life is where we're going. Let me end with this. Once again, another quote from N.T. Wright. He says this: Jesus of Nazareth ushers in not simply a new religious possibility, not simply a new ethic or a new way of salvation, but a new creation. We're a new creation. And he goes on to say, hope. And it's what I love this one here. It says, hope is what you get when you suddenly realize that a different worldview is possible. A worldview in which the rich, the powerful, and the unscrupulous do not, after all, have the last word. You get that? He is Alpha and Omega. His word began everything, and guess what? His word is going to finish it. And we can have hope in that. You guys, please stand. So I'm hoping this morning give you something to think about. I'm hoping that it does leave you with questions. Trust me, I got millions more myself. But right now, I want you to let you know one thing I want to do. We are going to take communion here in a minute as well to celebrate our risen King. You guys don't seem excited that we have a risen King that's still alive, right? Amen. All right, a little better. Okay, there you go. You're much easier to get into this than my kids are, so thank you. I have to do that 50 times before we get any noise. But before we get going, be thinking about this. Here's what I'd like to do. I'd like for everyone right now to bow your head and close your eyes. No one looking about before we get into this. First thing I want to do, and as I said, I always get this opportunity. If you are here today, and after some of the things that you've heard, listen, I'm hoping that you did not listen to what Chris has come to say. That Pastor Chris came and told us this. I'm hoping you're here and you're saying, this is what God was talking to me about today. Maybe you're here today. Maybe God's been tugging at your heart. He's been calling you by name. He's saying, my son, my daughter, come home. If you're here today and you don't know Christ and you want to, because here's the thing is, he knows you, but he wants you to know more of him. I always want to give this opportunity. If there's anybody in here, no one's looking about, and I'm not going to call you out. I'm not going to embarrass you. But if you want to know this Christ and this resurrection and what it truly means and to experience it, it starts now. If you're here, I just want to pray with you. I'm not going to call you out. If anybody's here, just lift your hand up really quick. No one's looking about. Just really quick. I always want to give this opportunity. Okay, thank you. Maybe you're here this morning. And maybe you're here and you're saying, I've had some things that aren't going right in my life. There's some things I need to repent of right now. Listen, I'm going to ask you to come tell me what it is. Also, if you need to talk, I will talk with you all day long. Whatever you need. But maybe there's some things that we need to be honest with God about right now. Maybe there's something we tripped up on, we slid on. Maybe we got involved in some sort of relationship or a friendship that is going out of whack. Maybe something at home, at work. Maybe there's something we messed up. And right now, you just need to confess that. If that's you, you just need prayer over something like that, something you're struggling with right now. Just lift your hand up real quick so we can pray with you. No one's going to look around. Thank you. Yes, thank you. God bless you. Yes, thank you. Thank you. Anyone else? Thank you. And lastly, maybe you're just here just because there's another need in your life. Maybe right now, you're struggling with something. Maybe you're struggling with an addiction. Maybe you're struggling with depression. Maybe you're struggling with your self-worth. You're struggling with your future. what to do with what's going on with your life. Maybe you just need to be encouraged right now. And if that's you on this day, lift your hand so I can pray with you. Anybody? Yes, thank you. Thank you. Yes, thank you. Thank you. God bless you. Yes, thank you. Thank you. Yes. Anybody else? Thank you. Thank you. Yes. Thank you. God bless you. Father God, I thank you, Lord God, this morning. I thank you, Father God, that we get to come to your house, Father, and on this day, Lord God, we come to celebrate the resurrection of Jesus Christ, our King, the Lord of Lords. He is not dead, he lives. He continues to live on. And God, we look forward to the day that he returns and we get to sit at the table with him, at your table with him, as he calls us by name. And we get to enjoy this meal with him, Lord God, that we'll partake upon. Father, right now, those, Lord God, who raise your hand, Father, that things are struggling with and things that need to repent, Lord God, in your words, you tell them you are forgiven. You, Lord God, are talking right now. Just let them know that right now God is saying, you are my son. You are my daughter. You are mine, and nothing can take you from my hand, nothing at all. You are mine. Remind them, Lord God, that your love is for them completely, unconditionally. God, yes, we understand we don't deserve it, but God, you give it to us. And all you ask in return is that we accept it. Man, we thank you, Father. And it's all because your son, God, that we get to come and we can approach you at any point, any way, right now. And we can come to you right now and say, thank you. You're my father. You're saying to many here, Lord God, welcome home, my son, my daughter. Father, we thank you again for this day and what it means, Father. Of what it means to be resurrected, to be a people of the resurrection. God, it's not just about us coming back to life. It's about us coming back new. And God, in the end, Lord God, this world is going to be renewed in a new creation. We will not be able to describe in the words that we have now, in the tongue that we have now, of the true beauty of what lies before us. The resurrection was more than what we realize. And without it, God, this means nothing. But with it, it means everything. And we thank you for that. Thank you for that sacrifice and his mercy. And Father, as we come, Lord God, here in a little bit to come to your table, Father, you've opened up your table to us to come and enjoy this supper. As we come to take the bread and the wine, we take it in remembrance of you. Find us worthy, Lord God, right now, Lord God, that we come in a repentant heart. That we come, Father, with a heart rendered, Lord God, to a heart that just seeks more of you, Father. That's what you ask of us. We are found worthy in this. We thank you, Father, as we take this, God. Yes, we will take it in remembrance of your life, of your joys, of your happiness, of the good things. But God, also will also remember the sorrows, the pain that you suffered. And most importantly, this morning, we will remember the victory that we now have in your Son, Jesus Christ. That it did not end with the grave, but now he sits at the throne at your right hand, and he lives, and he reigns, and he will continue reigning. And we will come to this point, and we will get to enjoy this supper together, Father. I thank you, Father. Continue to pour your blessings on this place. In Jesus' name we pray.